This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Coody, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome in to the Colorado Week edition of the Sideline Slice. He's been waiting for this. He's ready for it. He's Jeremiah Searles. I'm Jessica Coody, and we basically had to turn down his mic levels even before we even started this thing because you are fired up.
Never. Don't you ever turn me down, Jessica, especially after a Husker opener win like that. We haven't had one of those to talk about in a very long time.
Well, since I've been here, since we've been doing the podcast together, I've not been able to, we've not talked about a season opening win.
Just a dominant performance, getting the backups in, letting our quarterback spin it. We have running backs that want to run downhill. We have guys that want to hit. I couldn't have been happier waking up on a Sunday morning. I woke up, my heart was full, the air was cool. Everything about Sunday morning for me was just ecstatic, knowing that we have a fun football team to talk about.
Well, there's a lot to dive into, and we are going to preview the matchup with Colorado. But let's start you just rattled off a few of the positives. There were lots to take away, but I guess if you had to pick your number one positive that you walked away with, okay, that's I'm really excited about that, what would be your number one?
That we have running backs that want to run downhill and run downhill hard.
What did you do when you saw Gabe Irvin truck that guy into the end zone?
I jumped up and down and screamed. I mean, I literally jumped up and down and was like, finally, we want to put one foot in the ground and go north and south and punish linebackers that want to make tackles. Punish them. If they think that they want to walk up there and meet you in the A-gap, make them feel it. Make them feel it. And just getting to watch that and getting to watch that we did it over and over and over again, that for me was where I'm going, okay, I can see a bit of an identity of this football team. I can start to see the identity of our offense where we're going to be a downhill football team. We're going to run the football. And then guess what? We have a quarterback that can throw it over your head. I am so excited to see what this offense can be and the execution, and only two penalties I think we had, right? Two penalties, well, maybe three.
Two in the first half with it was 2 for 20. It was only actually the first drive, I believe. And then after that, the first half was really, really a clean first half.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very clean first half. We had the one turnover. But, you know, we talked about what did I want to see out of this group last week. I wanted to see execution. I wanted to see us go out and take command. And they did everything that I asked them to do. They did everything that coach asked them to do. We started the year on the right foot, finally, right? And that's just going to lead to confidence going into next week. And Dante Dowdell, that man, is maybe my favorite running back we have in our room right now.
Except for he fumbled the football.
That's okay. It's all right. I'm going to forgive. Forgive and forget. But what he did with the ball in his hands, I feel like he set the tone for the physicality of running the football, right? Physicality running the football is contagious. Mm-hmm. When you're in a running back room and you're watching your buddy run over guys and you're watching your buddy go, hey, maybe it's not blocked up perfectly, but I'm putting my foot in the ground and 4 yards in a cloud of dust. All right, he's doing that. Well, I better do that too. And you saw everyone go and do that. You saw everyone go in there. But I really love how physical he is running the football.
I chatted with Turner Corcoran today, and I was asking him about all those running backs. And he wanted to make sure and make note of Gabe Irvin when he ran over that dude to get into the end zone. You know, the offensive line, they get fueled. They get gassed up when those running backs are not afraid to hit people, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have a running back behind you that's like dancing in the hole and trying to bounce everything, and you're like, dude, put your big boy pants on. It's time to go, right? But when you have multiple guys that are going to be like, hey, if you're in the way, I'm going to run you over too. Got it. I will make sure that I get my big butt out of the way so that you will be able to run downhill. It's just a really exciting feeling to have as an offensive lineman when you know you have running backs behind you that are not afraid of contact. In fact, they invite contact, right? I only saw a few times that guys were kind of trying to make guys miss. Most of the time, if there was someone standing between them and the end zone, they were going through their face mask to get there.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of people were talking about, oh, well, there's not a number one running back and all the oars. But I think we saw on Saturday just how much this offense can utilize all four guys. I think they're all four going to be able to have their opportunities and, you know, hopefully none of them get hurt. But as you've mentioned, it just is inevitable, probably going to have to deal with some injuries. But, you know, just I think we saw that they can all be utilized. We even saw Emmett Johnson catch a pass. You know, I think they're going to be able to find ways to get all four of them on the field.
Right. And you talk about efficiency of runs. Efficient runs for me are 4 yards plus. So you look at it, you go Emmett Johnson, 8.9 to carry, Dowdell, 6.9, Ramir Johnson, 4.5, Gabe Urban, 4.0. So that means every single time that one of these guys touched the football, it was an efficient run. You're going to win a lot of football games with efficient running styles like that. And I'm okay that there's no clear number one, because me watching that game, I don't know if I could have put my foot down and been like, that's the guy or this is the guy. They all showcased. And so I think the narrative coming through camp was no one's really pulling ahead of the pack. Well, I think it's because all four of them are right there neck and neck of all of them have RB1 capabilities in them. And talk about a great problem to have is to have four running backs that you really feel you can put out there at any time and not have any drop off between all four of them.
Okay, so let's now talk about the passing game. And another guy that you're a huge fan of, and he jumped to you your first practice that you went to out in the spring, Isaiah Nair, and he translated to game day on Saturday. Over 100, he had the big touchdown. And then Jamal Banks was also, we saw how good he could be as well. But you can see how much Dylan trusts throwing the ball to them. But there's a lot of different weapons in this offense, and we saw a lot of them utilized. But I was guessing that you'd make sure to make note of 18 because you've been a big fan of his.
Yeah, the first spring practice I saw him, I looked at him and go, who is that avatar? Right, like paint him blue and he's straight from Pandora. I mean, he's got the long arms, he can run. I mean, he is a wide receiver one at very, very many schools across the country, and we are lucky to have him because a lot of those balls were contested catches. I mean, a lot of them were ripping it away and finding the ball and high pointing it and taking it and ripping it away from the defender. And when you have the physicality of a big receiver like that, it puts a lot of fear in cornerbacks and safeties. Because you might be in great position, but he might just elevate over the top of you and just go get it. And he has a natural skill of just going and getting the ball. And to have him have 120 yards, I mean, 20-yard average was just – this was the first time, Jessica, that I can remember in the last probably 2 years where we were sitting in a second and 30. And for so long, I was like, well, here comes the screen or the draw, and we'll see what happens. And we're firing and pushing it down the field. And we haven't had that luxury, whether it's because of quarterback play or wide receiver play or offensive line play. We just haven't had the ability to say we trust guys to go make plays when we're in second and not very manageable, or third and not very manageable. And I got to see Dylan, and I got to see these receivers run good, crisp routes, get themselves open, create separation, and putting the ball right on the money. That's something we haven't seen at Nebraska in probably 4 or 5 years, if I'm being honest. Yeah. And on a consistent basis. And so to say that we can have that now, and I get it, it's UTEP, but still, we haven't had a win like this that looked like a Nebraska versus a lesser opponent win in a long time. So I'm very excited about that. And I know people can say, well, we'll see this week. And yeah, we will see this week. But what they did last week was exactly what they needed to do from a skill position standpoint, building confidence, from a young quarterback standpoint, building confidence, and just putting the rest of the Big Ten and the rest of the country on notice that we are here to play.
You know, it's pretty remarkable just the change of dynamics, of confidence, of everything in a football team when you've got a quarterback like Dylan Raiola, you know. And I saw it firsthand at Oklahoma with some of the quarterbacks that OU had while I was there. But it's pretty incredible how much different, you know, everything can be when you have the elite talent at quarterback, right?
You give yourself an opportunity in every game. When you have a trigger man, and whether it's high school, college, or the NFL, if you have a trigger man that can make a difference and pushing the ball down the field and making good decisions, you will give yourself a chance to win every single football game. And I get it. It's one start. He's an 18-year-old kid. But from what I saw him and his performance, the way he commanded the offense, the way his poise, everything, he is talented enough to give us an opportunity to win a lot of football games. And is there going to be some freshman growing pains? Probably. I think we'll stumble a couple, but that's okay because the freshman growing pains this year, sophomore, junior, senior year, if he even makes it that long, I think is going to be just pay huge dividends for us. But he is a special talent. He's the best quarterback, all-around quarterback. I'm not disrespecting Crouch. I'm not disrespecting some of the greats that have come before him. But from an overall quarterback standpoint, I think he's the best quarterback Nebraska has ever had.
Wow, wow. And, you know, again, as you mentioned, we can say it's just one game, but his teammates, the way that they've talked about him after the game, throughout fall camp, I mean, they're not surprised at all. That's what he's done. And you could just see how much respect he has from top to bottom. I watched Ty Robinson put his arm around him, and Ty told me after the game, you know, I believe in him so much, and he's such a special talent and leader for this football team. And so just, I think that he's won over this football team. I don't think it took him long to do that. But, you know, when you've got the trust already to it, it helps as well. Let's talk about the guys protecting him, the offensive line. You know, you talk about the run game and the pass game, over 500 yards of offense and balanced over 200 rushing, over nearly 300 passing. How did you like the play of the guys up front? And then also the guys that came in and backed those guys up, because that was going to be a big thing to watch for you going into last week.
Yeah, I feel really confident with our right side of the offensive line specifically. Going all the way from Ben Scott, I thought Micah looked really good. Ben Hart picked up right where he left off last year. I saw some really good stuff out of Evan, you know, and then Turner had some good plays, had some bad, but I thought he played more consistent than he has in the last couple of years. You know, so lots of clean pockets, lots of opportunity for us to take those shots down the field. And we did some nice things, mixing in some different type of protections, keeping a tight end on one, chipping running backs out where we need to chip them, and keeping Dylan upright. So much of his success, and as great as he can be, is going to be determined of, can he keep 2 feet on the ground, or is he getting hit a lot? And we don't want young guys to get hit a lot. We want them to feel confident back there. And if we can have the balanced attack of not letting defenses get in second and longs and third and longs on a consistent basis, but living in second and six and third and manageable, we're going to give ourselves a chance to protect well. Too many times last year were we sitting in second and 10 when the defense now has the upper hand. They know it's an obvious passing situation. They know we're going to try and take a chunk, or we're going to try and get back into it. If we can continue to win first down, our pockets are going to be easier to protect. We're going to be able to move the pocket well. We're going to be able to play our play action game, keep the base defense on the field instead of letting them get their pass rushers in on every single second and third down. And so I thought that the guys up front played a very clean football game.
Okay, let's talk defense. You had mentioned them also when you were on your fired up rant at the beginning. what stood out to you the most? What did you like most about the performance in week one?
Yeah, you know, I thought we started a little slow. You know, I thought that we kind of eased our way into it, but you really got to see the growth from guys like Ty, Nash, Lenhart, Elijah Judy, I mean, Van Poppel. There's a lot of young guys in there that I felt I got to see, not a ton of, but you got to see them take the starting parts of a next step in the phase of their development. And we're talking about guys that played as true freshmen last year, guys that were rotating in, but I loved the push that our guys generated up front, especially in that second quarter where we really put the foot down and made the pushes and got up front and took away a lot of the running lanes. And like I said, what we don't want to do, we put them in second and long and third and long where we allowed to dial up some blitzes. If I have one thing that I'm slightly concerned about, it's our back end. Too many guys running free, too many guys making catches deep down the field. You know, they missed a wide open touchdown there, a guy that had no one around him, and the quarterback just overthrew him. They ran that slot fade against cover one early in the game for their first touchdown. You know, there's a few things on the back end that we really need to get cleaned up, because we put some stuff on tape that people are going to try and go after us again, especially this week with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter and Jimmy Horn and all those guys. You know, so if there was one thing I came out of that game slightly concerned about, it'd be the defensive backs position.
So Coach Rule said that he thought that was one of the best, if not the best, performance that he's seen from Ty Robinson. What did you think about Ty and what he was able to do?
Yeah, he played like I wanted him to play a lot of times last year. He needs to be unblockable, right? That's who he is. He's come back now. He's played a ton of football. You can tell he's developed well in the weight room and the offseason program with Corey Campbell and what they've done with his body shape. But he also didn't have to play 60 snaps. Right, we talked about this last year with the lack of depth that we had at the D-line position with a bunch of young guys. You were asking Ty Robinson to play 85 to 90% of the snaps in a game. you don't want your best player to be able to do that because you want him to be that disruptive force and that guy that can just absolutely annihilate guys. And so you want to be able to give him a blow every now and then so that you can get the best possible Ty Robinson for 50 plays. And I watched him continually beat the man across from him, win his one-on-one matchup, get pressure on the quarterback, get TFLs, disrupt double teams. So it allowed the linebackers to run around. He had a very dominant performance. I'm really excited about his development so far, and I'm really hoping that he can continue that path and get better as the year progresses on.
How about the first safety since 2009? First defensive safety since 2009?
Yeah, that was all Big Ty. Or Big Ty and Nash. Nash took the guard and the center and just held both of them and then moved them back a yard, which allowed that running back to have absolutely nowhere to go. We have play like that up front. We're going to win a lot of football games on the defensive side of the ball.
Greg had mentioned this on the broadcast, but I guess maybe it'll be something that we can continue to track throughout the season. But, going into the season, are you looking at 0-9, Nash and Ty? Or I think it was Cam Linhart I was chatting with the other day, and he accidentally like splurged them together, which I think is okay because they're together all the time, and everywhere you see them, they're together. Like I think it was Tash or Nye, one or the other. But I feel like we could probably coin that phrase. But are Ty and Nash? Do you think that duo is up there with some of the best duos in college football?
I think it has the potential to be.
Yeah.
I think it has the potential to be. You know, watching week one, I think they did exactly what they needed to do. You can't slide to one and expect the other one not to create pressure. So you're going to kind of have to pick your poison in that. But if they continue on the development track that I saw them against the Miners this week, and if they do it again against this CU team, they're definitely going to put themselves in contention for one of the better tandems at defensive tackle, especially in the Big Ten. I don't know if I can say country, but I think I can confidently say, you know, in the Big Ten.
Okay, well, how about Huskers winning the turnover battle? That huge positive.
Finally. I mean, every week we talk about it. It's the number one stat that equates to a win or a loss. You have to win the football. You have to win the football. And ball security is job security. Defensively, you can take the ball away, give your offense short fields. It's going to lead to points, whether field goals or touchdowns. You know, so winning the turnover battle was massive. And, you know, Rule obviously has put a huge point of emphasis on that. It's why we lost so many football games last year. And, you know, so to come out on the right side of that, this one proves why we can win football games. And it's going to be a continuing critical talking point that we talk about every single week as we go into the season.
Valentino's, treasured Italian family recipes passed down for generations. Valentino's has become Nebraska's classic Italian tradition and proudly served in Memorial Stadium for over 30 years.
Okay, let's dive into it. Colorado, you were watching very closely, which for those that maybe don't know, you've got a pretty, I guess...
I hate them. I hate them. You can try and sugarcoat it as much as you want, Jessica. I hate the Colorado Buffaloes. Always have, always will. Nothing will ever change that. You know, and so did I want them to lose to North Dakota State? Absolutely. Should they have lost? Probably. But the fact that they're going to come in here and the rest of the world's already crowning Travis Hunter's, the Heisman, and Shedeur Sanders going to play for the Cowboys next year, and blah, 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 right? I am so ready to watch this Husker team just shove it to them. I think I watched both games. I broke down both games. I think if you look at it from a physicality standpoint, it's not even close. We are the more physical team on both line of scrimmages, offensively and defensively. I take our defensive line versus theirs. I take our offensive line versus theirs 10 times out of 10 watching both those games. I think we need to turn this into a dirty smash mouth, control the football type of game. And I'm so excited. I can't even contain myself to come watch this football game.
Well, I was going to let you say, so you grew up in Colorado, actually, and you have a lot of family that was actually mad at you that you didn't go to Colorado, but they didn't really recruit you, right?
Well, they did. So old Danny Hawkins there decided he offered me as a junior. I was actually at the game in 2008, or maybe 7, when they beat Oklahoma in Sam Bradford. And I was in the locker room. I was like, man, this is really cool. It's exciting. 2 weeks later, I tore my ACL, my last game, my junior year in high school. And CU was the only school at the time. I had about 13 scholarship offers at that point. And CU was the only school that called me and said, hey, we're going to actually have to pull that offer until you can prove to us that you're healthy and you can still play.
Wow.
And that left a terrible taste in my mouth. I mean, I was like, you live 45 minutes away. And then they wouldn't reoffer me unless I came to their summer camp and paid $500 to come prove to them in the summer that I was okay. I was like, you can drive down 6th Avenue and come watch me play in Jeffco Stadium any Friday night this year. Any of them, just come watch. And they didn't do it. And they actually never reoffered me. They never reoffered me. And so I decided I was going to go somewhere I could beat them every year. And luckily I did. We beat them both times when we played them. And I had friends on that team. And yeah, my whole family is Buffalo crazies, bleed the black and gold, the whole bit. But I decided I wanted to wear the big red, and it was the best decision I ever made.
Oh, that's great. Great story. Okay, now let's dive into this current team. So let's start up front on the offensive side of the ball for Colorado, because you were on the call with us last year, and I told you guys, Terrence Knighton is fired up. He's seeing something that he thinks these guys are going to have a big day. And mind you, this is back when we didn't know just how deep and good this defensive line was, but they had so many different guys that were all over the field, and they had multiple sacks last year. And so he saw something that he knew that his guys were going to have a big day. They did. The Colorado offensive line, they've said, is revamped. They've got into the portal. But what did you see out of the Colorado offensive line? Are they very much improved from the offensive line we saw a year ago?
They're booty cheeks. They're not good. They're not good. And, I mean, I get it. I'm not trying to get bulletin board material by any means, but I broke that game down. And, you know, watching North Dakota State's guys, and no offense to them, that's a powerhouse FCS program. They've won national championships. They have great players. They don't have the skill that our Nebraska defensive line has. And they were getting to Shadur, and they were moving him off his spot, and they hit him a lot, and they did all those things. And so watching that game and watching the way that North Dakota State's D-line was able to create pressure without having to blitz just fires me up to think about what our guys are going to be able to do, not including the Tony White scheme that he's going to be able to throw at them. And you know it, I know it. Offensive linemen are not built in the portal. They're built in-house. Offensive linemen, if you're a good offensive lineman, you usually don't hit the portal and go somewhere else and be the guy, right? Unless you are a previous starter, right? Like Micah. Micah started at Florida.
Ben Scott.
He didn't like something. Ben Scott started at Arizona State. A lot of these guys that went into the portal and are now playing for CU weren't necessarily starters and elite starters at the programs in which they came from. They were backups or guys that got on the field a little bit. And so I really think that we had, 10 sacks last year against the CU team? I could see us having a very similar performance again. But we have to make sure if we get to Shadur, we got to get him down. Because, man, he is so good at creating and moving and finding guys open down the field and throwing darts to him. If you get to Shadur Sanders, you cannot let him out of the pocket. You have to finish with him on the ground.
Yeah, see, and that's what I was going to go to next, that even, you know, last year, despite they made Shadur very uncomfortable in the first half especially, but then he was able to get it going, and then it happened time and time again. He still was able to rack up so many stats game in and game out last season, despite having a not great offensive line in front of him. So what is the key to that then, if you are able to get pressure and get through the offensive line, for the rest of the defense to stop or slow down a little bit the rest of the Colorado offensive attack?
Their skill position room is elite. As bad as their O-line may be, their skill position is top notch. I mean, Jimmy Horn is going to be running a 4-3 guy. He is unbelievably fast. Travis Hunter is just an incredible athlete all the way around. You know, those two guys are extremely dangerous when paired with Shadur Sanders. And so if we want to get to Shadur and get him down, we have to play tight coverage on those guys. Not too many times did North Dakota State have free runners. Right, Jimmy Horn's wide open in the middle of the field, no one within 10 yards around him. Travis Hunter blew by the corner, and now he's got a ton of separation, so Shadur can just throw it up to him. We have to play tight coverage on these guys and make Shadur really commit to throwing that football. Not throwing to a spot, but understanding, hey, this window is very, very tight, and I have to throw it at the exact perfect time, or else it's going to be an interception, or, you know, it's going to be a contested catch. But in order to do that, you have to put pressure on him up front. You can't, if you let Shadur sit back there and just throw it wherever he wants to go, he will pick you apart. He is very, very good. He is extremely talented. But if you can get into his face and hit him and get him rattled and get to his feet and do all those things and not let him escape outside of the pocket, that's going to be so critical this week with Terrence Knighton and his crew, is not being a defensive end that ends up in the worst position of football, which is above the quarterback. too many times that North Dakota State's DNs run around that edge, and now all of a sudden they're behind Shadur and allows him to step up and escape on the outside of the pocket. Right, we have to keep this guy contained inside the pocket, because if you keep him contained in there, it's a lot harder for the receivers to run scramble drill and get open. They have to stay within the route concept. So not only is it about rushing him and getting to him, it's about rushing him properly and staying in your rush lanes.
Tony White today was talking about, you know, diving into the film. He said a lot of the same things that you had said about just the elite talent that they have at wide receiver and quarterback and all that. But he said he also saw They threw out some new wrinkles. What did you see, I guess, maybe offensively that could also be concerning in the new things that they are doing this year compared to last year?
Yeah, you know, they tried to get a little bit more of the run game going, and at times it worked. You know, they went to a little bit more of a downhill running style versus last year. I felt like it was a little bit more the kind of mid-zone to outside zone, try and get guys skating, versus this year it looks like they want to be a little bit more in between the tackles, which I say – go for it. Run in between the tackles on us, because I feel like that's a really big strength of ours with Nash and Ty and those guys in the middle. So I would expect maybe a little bit of wrinkle of some pin-pull stuff. You know, I would expect to see them see if they could get a little pin-pull, try and cut the defense with our big heavy guys up front and see if they can get to the edges a little bit more on their run scheme stuff, because I don't think they're going to find a lot of success just trying to pound the ball up the middle on this defensive front.
Okay, so flipping things over then, and we just talked so much about the Nebraska offense. What about the Colorado defense? What stood out to you about the Buffs defense there in week one?
Yeah, you know, I thought that Cam Miller, the quarterback for North Dakota State, did some really nice job with his feet of creating things. And so there may be some times they upgrade a little bit at the pass rusher position. They have some more guys with a little bit more go juice on the edges there. But where they lack is size. They do not have a lot of size on the interior of that defensive line, and North Dakota State knew it. They ran it right at them. You know, they got themselves in a position in the back half of that game where they couldn't just pound the rock over and over because they just ran out of time. But, you know, they controlled the time of possession. They understood what they needed to do. How do you beat that really great skill position? Well, your offense just keeps them off the field, right? You convert first downs and second downs and third downs, and you just do a great job and say, hey, Shadur, you just sit over there in the sun and make yourself comfortable, right? Like, that's what they needed to do. And so I think our offense needs to take a playbook right out of North Dakota State's, which is just control the clock, understand, hey, it's not, might not be pretty all the time, and I might be the super exciting track meet that the college football TV pundits and scribes want to see. But, you know, if you can just beat this physical team physically up front from an offensive line perspective, you know, you're going to give ourselves a chance to win, because they just don't have a ton of size at the interior linebacker position and the interior defensive line.
Which, by the way, you know, the Heinrich Carberg, when he came in there, he took the offense on an over 9-minute drive. So, you know, this, it's, they're absolutely capable of doing what you just said. We saw it on Saturday. For all the things that we saw, that was another big thing that we saw, that they are able to control the clock and manage the clock. And they did have some longer drives, even with Dylan that was in there. It wasn't just, hey, hurry up and score, which a lot of the high-powered offenses do. I think they showed a little bit that they are capable maybe of doing what you just said.
Yeah, it's gonna be really important. The Big 12 and the Big 10 are two different divisions. The Big 12's built for high-flying games, 63-52 type scores. The Big 10's not built like that. You're going to need to win games in October and November, 12-16, right? 21-17, and time of possession needs to be a key factor into that. And just because we're playing a CU Pac-12 high-flying offense doesn't mean we change who we are. And I thought Matt Rhule did a great job in his press conference yesterday, you know, talking about, like, yes, CU is this and that, and there's a lot of history between these two schools, but it's more about us than it is about them. And we need to continue to refine our offense and refine ourselves to get ready to go try and win a Big Ten championship. Our season's not to beat CU, right? We don't need to change who we are because we're playing Shadur and Dion and all this flash and nonsense, right? We need to control what we can do. And the way you do that is by refining what your offense is, which is being a downhill football team, taking your shots with your quarterback when you can have it. But if you can control the clock and keep the elite skill group of Shadur Sanders and co on the sideline, that's the best way to beat them. The best way, because you don't want to get into a track meet with this group. You don't fall into their hands. That's what they want. They want to turn this into a track meet. And they tried doing it at North Dakota State. You knew they were going to score. They went up and down the field. But if you can get them behind and control the clock, you're going to frustrate them. You're going to frustrate them. You're going to put them in spots they don't want to be. They've got 40 new transfers. They fought a little bit of adversity last week, but nothing's going to be like coming to a night game in Memorial Stadium for adversity that they saw last week.
All right. So, man, it is going to be rocking.
Oh, baby.
So many things going on. The 94 national championship teams being honored. I think there's going to be some special things that are going to be happening inside the stadium. And again, talking with the players after the game on Saturday, they did not want to talk about, they wanted to, hey, 24 hours, we're going to celebrate this one. They did not want to talk about Colorado after the game on Saturday. And even today, they made it about themselves. They didn't want to make it bigger than what it was. But you as a player, you've got to be feeling the excitement of a matchup like this where, whether it's Colorado or not, but just the night game, the history and the tradition, how juiced the fans are. Memorial Stadium is going to be absolutely rocking. You got to be feeling it, that how exciting that this is going to be to have this kind of opportunity.
I mean, if you're not feeling it, you're not living. I mean, you have to feel the excitement and the buzz. I mean, it's Fox, it's night game, it's
NBC,
Nebraska,
NBC,
Peacock, whatever. It's a night game. It's nationally televised. Everyone will be watching. I mean, everyone will be watching this game for either because they love the CU hype train or because they're super curious about Nebraska. But regardless, this is your opening really argument to college football and to the country of why Nebraska is going to be this year. You know, everyone watched last week and said, okay, yeah, you beat up on UTEP like you're supposed to do. Sweet. Who really are you? Like, are you Jekyll and Hyde, or are you actually taking the steps in the right direction to become back to what Nebraska needs to be? And we'll know that this week. And that's why Matt Rhule's trying to keep everything as focused and not let the outside noise go, because he knows that too. But it's so much. This is going to be your coming out party to the country of what does year two Nebraska look like, because all eyes will be on you. And it's not a pressure thing. It's not a thing to get strung up or nervous or anxious about. It's an excitement factor. You get to go out in front of this crazy home crowd in a stadium that's going to be absolutely bananas and go show who the world who you are. And all the hot days in the summer, all the cold mornings in the winter, all the hard dog days of training camp, everything you've done leads to a moment like this. And I know it's week two, and it's not end of the world, win, lose, or draw, whatever it might be, but this is a huge turning point type of game for this Nebraska football program of showing the world we can be back, we can be competitive.
Okay, let's get into it. Our weekly segments, players. Let's start with players to watch on. Let's go with the offensive side of the ball first.
Yeah, you know, I think offensively, the player to watch is going to be, can our running backs continue to pick up? I can't pick one. I don't know who to pick, right? But that running back room for me is, can all four of those guys continue to contribute at a very high level? Can they all pick their turns of running downhill and doing what showcases themselves the best, right? So I'm going to say all four of those running backs are going to be on my watch list to see, does anyone continue to emerge, or is it just everyone's taking their turn and everyone understands their role and just plays as a group really well together?
Okay, so can I also, because you had mentioned that you thought that maybe there were some lacking some size and physicality, the Colorado defense. So do you think that's an opportunity that the running backs could take advantage of?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you find yourself in a hole with one of those smaller linebackers, just run them over. Just run them over. I mean, especially early in the game, and then help them back up and be like, hey, I'll see you again in a minute. Right? Like, and just do that over and over again. Because I watched North Dakota State O-linemen throwing those dudes around. And trust me, North Dakota State's O-line is nothing to balk at. They've got multiple NFL starters in the league, and they've got another one that's on that team right now that's going to be a draft pick next year. But I loved what our physicality can do against that group. And if we pick up where we left off last week, we're going to be just fine.
I think there's going to be several key players on defense, but who would be the one that you are circled going into this matchup?
Yeah, it's going to have to be Tommy Hill. You know, Tommy Hill is going to have to match up with Travis Hunter. He's going to have to match up with Jimmy Horn. You know, he's going to have to play within the scheme that Tony White goes, but he's got to be a difference maker in this game, because those dudes are going to get open. They're going to run, but you got to stay glued. You can't let them get behind you. You can't let them create a lot of separation. And if you want to go play in the NFL, this is a great chance to showcase that you can go play against elite NFL wide receivers and play lockdown coverage. So I'm really going to be watching to see how Tommy Hill and Malcolm Hartsog lock up against these wide receivers.
I'm going to go back to what you were talking about earlier. I'm going to pick one this week. How about like a Jamari Butler, MJ Sherman? Because you talked about getting Shadur to the ground. Those DNs and those guys on the end are going to have a big opportunity. They've got a big job as well.
Yeah, I mean, those dudes have to play within the scheme, right? Understand that you can't go rogue against Shedeur Sanders. You can't, if you've got an outside contain, don't take the inside move. Play within the scheme, right? Get to the quarterback by beating your guy physically, not because you put someone else at risk by going and go doing your own thing. And it's an easy trap to fall into with a guy like Shedeur, who all of a sudden he's standing there and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get him. And then you take the inside move and then you get washed down and now he escapes outside the pocket and hits one down deep. So those defensive ends got to rush with discipline. Discipline, discipline, discipline in their rush lanes this week.
Okay, keys to this one. What are you going with?
Yeah, control the clock. Time of possession, 35 minutes plus. I think we need to have 35 minutes plus a time of possession on the offensive side of the ball, not letting Shedeur and crew get out there. I believe that we need to pick him off at least twice. I think we need to create two turnovers against this Colorado team, put them behind the sticks a little bit, you know, maybe get up by 10, give ourselves a chance to really make them have to press the ball and not play within kind of the scheme they want to play. So two interceptions, two turnovers, fumbles, whatever it might be. And then we need to figure out our kicking game. No more kicking the ball out of bounds on the kickoffs, have an explosive return. Like, we need to clean up and shore up our special teams, because I think a special teams play in this game could be a difference maker.
All right. Is it Saturday yet?
Not yet, but I really hope it was. I really wish it was. I got to sit around here and wait till I can be in Memorial Stadium and hear that freaking pulse just going.
Oh, man. You got me ready. I don't want to wait any longer. So, hopefully we're breaking down another win and keep these things rolling. But big win coming up on Saturday against 6:30 against Colorado. And we'll be back here to break it all down for you next week here on the Sideline Slice. For Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie. And as always, it's brought to you by our great friends at Valentino's Pizza.
Go Big Red.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe has become a Nebraska tradition for over 65 years. Proud to be the official pizza of the Huskers.